This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's Creature Feature, a spotlight on one of the Wildlife Hospital Dunedin's extra special guests.
Joining us for another conversation about a wonderful wildlife in our region, Jordana White from Dunedin Wildlife Hospital. Morena, lovely to have you with us, Jordana.
Ata Marie, thanks for having me back again.
Jordana, before we introduce our new guest, I just wanted to touch base with you about, you know, that sad story of the sea lions' deaths in the Catlins, the mother and pup. That I imagine most of our listeners might have heard about. You're pretty close to this, right? Any progress there in identifying who might have been responsible for that?
Right, so I'll just take my Wildlife Hospital hat off and put my New Zealand Sea Lion Trust hat on, so I'll speak as Sea Lion Trust representative here. So yeah, it was pretty tragic and horrible. We're all quite devastated about the news. Jade, who is the mother of the pup, that both of them were shot. She was quite well known in the community. Just like to say, we don't believe that these actions represent the Catlins community at all. And as you may know, the Sea Lion Trust, along with the Opera, have put together a reward of $11,000 for information leading to the conviction of whoever, the person or people who did this. And I will say that we have been receiving information, but I can't say any more than that. However, we are passing that on to the relevant authorities.
Well, it'd be great to see some resolution to it. I mean, it's really hard to imagine what might motivate someone to do this. But I guess, you know, there are factors and maybe some misapprehensions about animal behaviour and things like that in those areas.
Yeah, I think there is a sentiment probably in a lot of places like that, but I would say it's the absolute minority. And I think initially some people probably thought, oh, well, perhaps the person felt threatened or, you know, scared or what have you. But, you know, the evidence shows that the mum and the pup were lying down and facing away from the shooter. So there's no excuse there. I mean, there wouldn't be anyhow, but it was clearly a malicious act, and we really hope that we can catch the person.
Well, it goes without saying that if you do know any information, know anything about what led to that act, the death of those two seals, then do get in touch with
You could either get in touch with the New Zealand Sea Lion Trust if you feel, you know, uncomfortable approaching DOC or the police, but you certainly can reach out to Department of Conservation or directly to the New Zealand Police. It is a criminal matter, so it is, you can reference that to the police.
All right, let's put your Dunedin Wildlife Hospital hat
right
back on. Who are we talking about today?
Today we were talking about a New Zealand shore plover, or a tuturuatu. And this is the first time on this program I have made any attempt at Moriori, which the name for this bird in Moriori is, and please forgive me because I've not tried this before, Churiwat.
Mm.
So quite a different sound, Tuturuatu and Churiwat, if I'm saying it even remotely correctly, which is possible I'm not. So that should give you a clue if there's a Moriori name for this bird, that it's not necessarily one that we have here. It is an endemic bird endemic to New Zealand. We don't actually know fully the original range of this bird. It could have been all over New Zealand. We're not sure. But it is now mostly living just on predator-free offshore islands off of the Chathams.
Off
primarily.
The Chathams? Not yes. On the Chathams?
Not on the Chathams, because the Chathams do have introduced mammalian predators, unfortunately, but on the just on small offshore islands. So it's quite, this is one of the world's rarest shorebirds. So I've sort of seen a mix of what the population estimate is. In 2016, they thought it was about 175 adults, which included about 70 breeding pairs. So now in 2020 was the last update I saw where I thought to be more around 200 birds. So it's gone up a bit, but 200 birds in the whole world of this species. So if you've never heard of it, that's not a huge surprise. And I will say there are now some small numbers on mainland New Zealand offshore islands, but those are quite small populations that they've tried to build up through captive breeding programs. So there are some captive breeding programs as well. So there's a recovery plan, and they're actively trying to bring those numbers up, but it's quite slow. As I said, we don't know the original range of this bird, but some of the first recorded mentions of this bird actually do come from Otago. So at the river mouths, there were some early white settlers, I should say, not early settlers, but they recorded seeing them at river mouths across Otago. So we did have them, but now it is, of course, a very special guest indeed to have here in Dunedin.
So how has one of these come to you?
Now, this is, as I mentioned, that there's some captive breeding programs, and one of those is with the Isaac Conservation and Wildlife Trust in Christchurch. If the name Isaac is familiar to you, it's because that conservation trust owns Isaac Construction. So you've probably seen their trucks all around town and across Otago. So pretty cool to have a wildlife trust that owns a big construction company. I think that's a pretty fantastic business plan. Isaac's breeding program has been around since the late 90s, and they essentially receive eggs that were taken from the wild off the Chathams, and they raise them in captivity for breeding purposes. And the chicks that they produce from that program are then brought out to predator-free islands to try to boost those populations, as I mentioned.
And so they have their challenge. How are they doing, do you think?
The overall population is very slow. They're slow breeders as well. They're relatively long-lived species. They get to be about 20 years old, and they don't produce many, many chicks. So it's slow going, but thankfully groups like Isaac are having some success. But I just want to say that so that mammalian predator issue is really huge for these birds. So they do that thing where they just kind of do a bit of a scrape in the ground to build their nests and have their eggs. So they are just super vulnerable. Mm. They don't go out in the open, say, like an oyster catcher will just dig a hole in the sand and on the beach and have their chicks right there. They do hide. They tend to hide a little bit. They try to get under some vegetation, which doesn't probably help them much in terms of getting taken by rats. But rats are really an issue for this bird. So there was a couple of examples actually in different places where they were trying to establish populations out of this breeding program. And they had done that, the populations had established themselves. And then there was a single rat that with an incursion, and in both cases killed about 80% of the birds in that burgeoning population.
Wow.
So it's pretty significant. We have a single rat. Imagine that. So these birds didn't stand a chance when rats were brought over, when people came along. So really tricky. And I want to just take a moment to describe this bird. Have you had a chance to look this bird up, Jeff?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay, so let's talk about it. So this is it's a little shorebird. It's a small, the description says stocky, which I still feel like is a little bit rude.
Barrel-chested.
It's a robust, sturdy little shorebird. They're about 20 centimeters long, or 8 inches from bill to tail for my parents who are listening. And they're about 61 grams, which is like 1.5 Cadbury cream eggs, roughly, in weight. So they're light for their size, which is not, and with these shorebirds, they do tend to be quite lightweight.
That's a measure of weight I've not heard before, I've got to say.
But we all know what a Cadbury
cream
egg is, right? So that's what I like. That's what we're going with today. And I think the reason I decided to describe them that way is just because I think they're really cute. And it's just like a sweet little bird. And it's a sweet Cadbury cream eggs are sweet.
There you go.
This program is not sponsored by Cadbury, by the way. They have a white tummy and a brown back. And they would have a completely black head, except the markings they have make it look like they're wearing a little cap with a white feather, like a white feather or white furry trim. Just adorable. This cute little.
It's kind of a Friar Tuck look.
It is a Friar. Yes, thank you. That is exactly what I was trying to think of the other night, and I couldn't come up with it. But it does, yeah, it looks like it's wearing this little, adorable. And they've got quite a longish, bright orange bill, but then the tip of it looks like they've dipped it in inkwell. So it's just got a little bit of black at the end.
It's an unusual looking bird.
Isn't it adorable? Yeah, I find it so cute. It's just really a real looker. It's got the coordinating orange legs to go with that bill. It's quite an attractive bird. And it's really unique looking. We don't have, you wouldn't really mistake this for another bird species that you might see more commonly on the mainland. If you saw this, you'd go, what is that? So that's the shore plover. So I think another reason we don't, I think it struck me is because I've certainly never seen it before because we don't have them here. So,
if you're wondering how I'm able to see this, I'm actually having a look online. We've talked about the site before. It is fantastic. nzbirdsonline.org.nz. You get lots of great information, including images and sound as well. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking at the moment.
Yeah, highly recommend looking it up. Just have a quick search and you'll see just at least an image search so you can see what we're talking about. But, yeah, really cute little bird. So our patient that came to us was part of the ISAC program. So they came to us from ISAC Conservation and Wildlife Trust in Christchurch. So we do care for their birds and their captive breeding programs. Now, I am sorry to say I'm going to use the past tense when I'm talking about this patient. So just to give you a hint there, it was not a happy outcome. But Rongi was the name of this bird, and he was 4 years old. And like I said, they lived to be about 20 years old. So that is still, he was still quite a young bird, which is unfortunate that he didn't make it. But as I mentioned, he was as an egg laid in the Chatham Islands, off in those offshore islands, and then collected. And they hand-reared him for that breeding program. We actually, this is our second shore plover admission, but he's still the only shore plover we've ever cared for. So we cared for him back in 2022.
Ah.
So he first came to us for something called bumblefoot, which we have talked about on this program before, but it's called pododermatitis is the sort of more scientific name for it. And it's a foot infection that's quite common in birds that are kept in captivity. So they're just, they tend to use surfaces that they wouldn't necessarily use out in the wild, and it can lead to that kind of foot trouble. And he was in hospital again for foot issues. So he had a bit of toe necrosis, which means the tissue on one of his toes was dying. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't clear that it was an infection. So there's something underlying there, something happening there that we needed to work out while he was in hospital with us. He is a little bit fussy in hospital, Rongi. He was a bit picky about his food, but his favorite food in hospital was when the nurses put bloodworms in his water dish. Yeah, Jeff just gave me a look when I said bloodworms, which is correct. And he was also really into brine shrimp, but didn't love all of the other offerings, but that's okay. I promise this is related. Did you check out the giant aurora that we had couple weeks ago?
I didn't see the last one. I did see the one before, and I mean that's a whole other conversation. Why we're suddenly talking about auroras on a regular basis when it used to be never a thing. But
yes,
anyway, no,
yeah.
I didn't. I was very lazy. I didn't even pop my head out the door. Last night.
Well, many of your listeners will know that they were out there. They were out there looking at it. It was stunning. But it's really interesting. So he and I've only just found this out. So Rongi, as well as some of our other patients. And this is, we've now, because we've had these big auroras, we've seen the pattern, is they don't eat. They don't eat on a night of a big aurora. They just won't take their food, which is really interesting to me. So Rongi was not interested in his bloodworms or his brine shrimp on the night of the 11th of October. And it turns out that auroras, like a really big, strong aurora like that, makes noise. And these birds seem to, you know, clock that. And it just puts them off of their food. So there are some videos, you can look it up on YouTube, where you can actually hear the sound that it makes, which is fascinating. I was out at St. Kilda, so the ocean noise, I think, probably was covering up any noise that you might have heard from the aurora. But that's pretty interesting. So he did, but they all started eating again the next night, and he did as well. But yes, it's just quite fascinating, isn't
wow.
it?
Wow.
Yeah. So shore plovers tuned into the aurora. This, you heard it here first.
Tell you what, my ears won't pick that up after 50 years of rock and roll.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, I really think, there's so much we don't know about how these animals interact with the environment and what's happening out there in nature. So, that's just a really interesting fun fact. Now, the other thing that Rongi was picky about in his lifetime was apparently wasn't too into the ladies. Which is
a fair enough choice.
That's fine. I am not here to judge that. But I would like to say that if you are a critically endangered species, we really would like you to please just take one for the team and have some chicks. Because it's not helping the population. But Rongi, bless him, he wasn't, you know, they tried, they did some speed dating with him. He just wasn't into it. And you know what? We accept him how he is. It's okay. Now, unfortunately, as I mentioned, this is a past tense. This is a sad situation. So unfortunately, when the team investigated what was happening with his toe necrosis and what was causing it, it did seem that he had an underlying cardiac issue that wasn't something that we were going to solve in hospital. So the difficult decision was made to euthanize him in discussion with ISAC. And we did sort of weigh in up that even if we did give him a chance with that cardiac issue, he would have had amputate some of his toes. So it could have been, you know, could have been quite a challenging life. And you know, he hadn't found happiness at with any of his friends up in Christchurch. So it is a sad story, but I will say Rongi has been, he's been a lovely ambassador. It's been, you know, really good to educate people about these birds and in particular about those threats around rats and introduced predators. So I'm going to repeat something I talk about a lot on this program, which is if you can get involved in trapping work and predator-free work across Dunedin or Otago or just in your backyard, and you can always donate to the Dunedin Wildlife Hospital if you feel like you want to do something to support shore plovers and the efforts that we make to try to save these birds from extinction.
Just because we can and just because we've been talking about New Zealand birds online, we're going to take a wee listen to what you would hear if you were in their proximity. Here's a bunch of them. Just the sound of the ocean, you know. You can imagine these wild places, the wild environments that these birds are living in, and, you know, quite rugged environments too, of course, around the Chathams. And we learn so much every time you come in, Jordana, about these wonderful creatures. And like I say, I'm so enjoying the images that I'm seeing of this bird. And,
yeah, I really encourage people to go and look up the shore plover. They're lovely. You, just a quick warning, though, you might go down a total rabbit hole on NZ Birds Online, which is often what happens to me. I love looking up all the different species I've never heard of.
And look, maybe out there someone can clue us in on the science around auroras and birds not feeding, or indeed maybe other animals as well. How hungry were you on aurora night?
I'm always hungry. I don't know if I can...
Jordana, thanks so much for joining us here on the Awesome Morning Show for another creature feature. We look forward to catching up with you in 4 weeks' time.
Kia ora.
The Wildlife Hospital Dunedin treats sick and injured native New Zealand species right here in the heart of Aotearoa's wildlife capital. Their expert veterinary team patches up more than 500 patients every year, returning the majority of them back to the wild where they belong. You can learn more about the hospital, including ways to support this charitable trust, at wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz or follow their Facebook page for more fabulous creature content.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.